Kangaroos against the Kiwis. Have a great day, Raymond.
You too, Jimmy.
You enjoying the holidays?
Loving it. Outstanding.
Yeah, well done. Thoroughly deserved. Sky Sports Radio. Time now to join Greg Radley, Ron Duffercy and Nick Ashman for our simulcast of Australia's favourite racing wrap, Thoroughbred Weekly.
It was yesterday, the Million Dollar Railway Stakes, taken out by a local. The locals were very strong there yesterday, as can be the case in Perth. It's hard for an Eastern State horse to go over and win. If they do, they're very good. But the locals held onto the railway. You were at Rose Hill yesterday. How was it there, boys?
Look, a good meeting. A little bit of track bias there. Barrier 1 was gold, and so was probably, if you weren't, didn't have Barrier 1, probably leading was the go. But you could make ground, but you had to make it up on the inside. But we had a 6-metre dry, real dry track, so I suppose we could be...
Coming home 33 and change every race, weren't they?
Yeah, they were really getting home, weren't they?
A couple of good wins in Brisbane we'll get to a little bit later as well. The big story this week... And the biggest story in some time, boys, has been the James McDonald story. He's been charged with having an interest in a bet. Hasn't been found guilty. We haven't got to the next stage of the inquiry yet, but he was hauled in by the stewards earlier in the week, and he handed in his licence.
Yeah, he handed it in. And look, the stewards obviously remain pretty tight-lipped about these ongoing investigations, but Mark Van Gestel did give us a pretty good interview yesterday out at the track as well.
All right, well, let's get the latest with Mark Van Gestel, an overview of what's happened so far.
Well, Mark, it's been a big week in racing news with James McDonald standing himself down after being charged for being in breach of Rule 83D. Can you talk to us a little bit about how it came about?
Look, Nick, we have a memorandum of understanding with a number of law enforcement agencies, and from time to time we meet to share intelligence, and that sharing of intelligence led to a situation last Tuesday where the stewards felt we had to act quickly and interview James McDonald, and that interview was done on Tuesday after the barrier trials. At the culmination of that interview, the stewards issued a charge under 83D of having an interest in a bet when Astern ran in his first race on the 5th of December. And after the charge was issued, we gave consideration as to whether he should be stood down from riding. The stewards exercising a discretion that we have under the rules, but in the circumstances, James elected to stand himself down pending the finish of the inquiry.
If he's found guilty and the charge sticks, is it a mandatory 2-year ban?
Look, the rule does define that a mandatory minimum penalty should apply. There are circumstances where the stewards are of the view that there's special circumstances. They can include things like a guilty plea or if he assisted the investigation or inquiry. But that's talking in general terms. It's probably putting the cart before the horse at this stage. There's been no finding of guilt against him at this point in time. So in general terms, that is the rule that as it's defined, and there is mandatory minimum penalties.
Is the Stern debut run, Mark, is that the only race in question for James?
At this point in time, as I've said before publicly, we're still investigating the matter, and that'll be the stewards going through betting records, looking also at communication records as well. So that'll be a thorough investigation. It might take some time to go through, but at this point in time, that's the only race we have of concern. But, you know, as I say, we've got a fair bit of forensic material to get through.
Punter has been named as Anthony Gardner. What do you guys know about him?
Look, he's a person that we know as a punter. He was required to attend an inquiry on Thursday by application. That was adjourned till yesterday. He was asked to appear before the stewards to be interviewed. He failed to attend that interview by yesterday afternoon. And in those circumstances, Racing New South Wales saw it fit that he be warned off race courses until such time as he attends that interview.
Until he attends, he can't come back on a track. Has he given any indication when he might attend?
At this point in time, we haven't been in communication since last Thursday, but look, it's the door's open. We want to speak to Mr. Gardner, and so whenever he wishes to attend, we're keen to interview him and ask him some questions in respect to the inquiry, but until such time as that happens, he'll be warned off race courses.
Have you interviewed any other jockeys?
I can't comment on that, Nick, but look, all I can say, we've interviewed a number of parties in relation to the investigation. I won't confirm whether they're jockeys or otherwise, but certainly, you know, we're being thorough with the investigation and we'll interview as many people as necessary.
Okay, so that's the story so far. When do you reckon this will take its next step?
Look, it's hard to say. I think they primarily want to talk to Anthony Gardner first, and then I think they'll piece together, as the stewards do, all the information that they've got, the other parties that they've spoken to, and the information there, whether they've taken, you know, phones or whatnot from them. Obviously, James had to hand his phone over. And once they've got the jigsaw puzzle together, I think that's when we'll hear something again from them. But
is there any certainty that this punter will attend?
No. Well, as Mark just said, they've had no indication that he will attend. So
he's obviously said to him, "I'm not coming."
I don't think he said anything, Duff.
He just didn't turn up.
He just didn't turn up. So he requested to have the original, you know, interview adjourned, and then he just didn't turn up. So whether he's seeking legal advice, and that's from his lawyer, or whether he just didn't turn up, no one really knows. But I think the main question, a couple of questions that come out, is who's going to ride for Godolphin, and how long will J-Mac be out for if he is
He hasn't been found guilty.
If he gets found guilty, and will he come back and ride?
Well, if he gets to, I don't know about 2 years, but I mean, no. If that happened to happen, that's life. For a heavyweight bloke like him, it would nearly be life.
Where is McDonald now?
He's in New Zealand. He's gone back to New Zealand. Obviously, that's where he's from, and so he's going back there to have a bit of quiet time in that. I know his dream was always when he finished riding to own a dairy farm anyway, but let's hope we see him back in the saddle before that happens.
He's a young man. I mean, he's got the time to come back, but as you said, Duff, he's a heavyweight boy. And he's out, you don't know how... Well, we're getting too far ahead of ourselves. He's not gone yet. Mm-hmm. So we'll see how this plays out. Let's move on to racing now on the track, and here is the Railway Stakes in Perth yesterday. When they came around the home turn, like it had been through the whole race, Scales of Justice was in front. Douglas White flew in from Hong Kong to partner the Lindsay Smith Galloper, and Duff, this horse never gave anything else a look in.
You know what? His previous win leading into this race, he really captured the attention. I think Harvey rode him that day. Mm. He's just an athlete. He looks a real runner. And once he found the front yesterday with 53 kilos on his back, he was always going to give that big kick, and it was going to take a really good horse to run him down. So, look, he's got an amazing-looking record now. He's got a great racing style. He looks a real athlete. And he's obviously stamped himself a good horse, and it'd be lovely to see him, you know, maybe even Eve over here for the autumn. I don't know if there are any plans of that after a December, a December campaign, November-December campaign. But
looks like he'd probably go for a spell now. Mm. Once McIntosh went up outside, there was no pressure put on, was there?
No, there wasn't. And Good Project, who was given a beautiful run by Bowman, the 1-1, he had his chance, and the mare was brave, perfect reflection. Mm. And really, there wasn't too many hard luck stories out of the race. Maybe that Kiwi just got held up and never got anti-momentum, Carwi, but... look, simply a complete domination by the winner.
Yeah.
I thought McIntosh was a little bit disappointing, given that he seemed to have a nice run outside Scales of Justice.
He was there. You thought on the home turn he was going to go up and go with the leader, but he couldn't. He just simply couldn't.
When he sprinted, he put paid to him. McIntosh had to feel the pinch when that leader sprinted. Mm. He couldn't go with him.
He loves Perth Douglas White. He got the call up. Our mate Wes Cameron, as soon as, I'm pretty sure after Harvey got suspended, the ride was up for grabs. Douglas, you better get yourself out here.
Got a good ride
and maybe some good rides coming up throughout the program as well.
He won that race before?
He won the Kingston Town for Moriarty. That's for Chris great, Waller. Great. That was his first Group 1 in Australia. A Group 1 in Australia was something he wanted. Well, now he's got two. So he's got the double over there. He's got the Kingston Town and now the Railway. Lindsay Smith, the great trainer, he was interviewed after the race.
Oh well, it's a timing thing, and I thought I had it wrong with him last prep, and I tried to change some things early in his prep this time, and then Paul Harvey said to me, this horse can't let down, he's only got a cruising speed, so I worked him harder. I explained that to Douglas, and we got Douglas down here. Yeah, it cost a lot of money to get Douglas down. I think he owns his own plane. It might have been cheaper. But that's what you get. You get results.
I do. I love Perth. I've been very successful here. Touch wood, I haven't come here without a winner. And it's my second Group 1 here. It's like home to me now.
Could you believe how it fell into place for you out there?
No, I couldn't. When he came out the gates, they gave me a soft enough lead and he popped his ears up, and I just got him to switch off. And I think the key to him is getting him to just get a couple of furlongs of a breather. If he's too aggressive, he just doesn't seem to find the line as well. But when I turned for home and pressed the button, he just had a whole lot of engine underneath him.
It was there, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was there, all right, yeah.
Yeah, well, you've got to keep coming back now.
I'll be back, don't worry. And I've got to say special thanks to Wes. Man, you're a gentleman.
He that's sure is.
Don't send cards, send money.
Yeah, that's right. There's the Kingston town. So next week we go to the Winterbottom for the sprinters, and Terra Vista and also Malaguera will be there. We'll get to that market later in the show. But the Kingston town, who will back up?
You like that Samovair, don't you?
Yeah, I like her, but I don't know about this sort of race, whether she's with, but still, look, Vanbrugh's over there. He's the fresh legs in the race. But what's going to back up? I don't know. Let's stay tuned, I suppose.
Yeah. So the talk about this Samovar is pretty good. Yeah, Regis walked out of the box on the morning of the race.
Can he recover?
Well, a foot, Darren, we said on radio, a foot abscess was building.
Yeah.
So
it's a matter of how quick they can burst.
That's right. Yeah. And he's got to go to 1800 too.
Yeah.
So I don't know what's happening with Regis. So all in all, there was 3,000 more through the gates this year than last.
Hopefully they can back it up for the next couple of weeks.
Yeah.
And keep them focused, the race goers.
Very good atmosphere.
They've done a good job getting horses across.
They're paying incentives.
Yeah.
They're paying for the trainers, the strappers, the flights.
Working.
There's rebates. Mm. I mean, if you win a bit of prize money, well, you know, that offsets that.
Yeah.
But to get horses over there, they're paying the cost.
You're at a no-loss type of situation.
Almost, yeah. Add a bit of competition, and it's no guarantee that you win just because come from the eastern states.
The locals are hard to beat, and the result from yesterday.
More on Perth and the other features coming up after this.
We hope you are currently enjoying the programming, which is simulcast on Sky Thoroughbred Central and Sky Sports Radio. For more information, please visit skyracing.tv and click on the program tab. Super Santa Weekend at Harvey Norman. Come in and get your free photo with Santa and 25% off all Santa packs. Up to 20% off laptops and 2-in-1 computers. Bonus delivery and installation on all TVs 55 inch and above. Buy any 2 personal care products, get 50% off the second product. Up to 50% off selected furniture and bedding. Huge range in store. Make Christmas merry and bright with easy payment options. Shop in store and online. Don't miss Super Santa Weekend at Harvey Norman.
Go!
Dynamics Indications and Gay Waterhouse offer a colt by Loop de Vega, a champion young sire, our 2-year-olds from a sizzling speed family of Overreach, Reward for Effort and Catnip.
He's a cracker. He's absolutely big, strong. The stallion I've got a lot of time for, because this one, chosen by Dynamic, shows that they really liked him. I do too.
Join the Dynamic Gay Waterhouse team. Visit dynamicsindications.com or call 1-800-619-999.
If you love a bet, then we bet you'll love this. We've got jackpots and specials coming your way every week. Check out tab.com.au to see what's on offer and place a bet you'll never forget. Tab, we love a bet.
Okay, let's move on to another of the feature races in Perth, Sky Racing WA Guineas. Worth $500,000. It's been a good horses race over the years. And Variation, when the jockey jumped off Damien Lane, he said, if I didn't win this, I was going to be a certainty beaten.
Yeah, I thought he might have given one a tighten up when that was going backwards in the straight here as well. I don't know what happened with the stewards report, but he did get held up badly. But he stayed cool in a situation. He's a exciting talent, this jockey.
Yes.
Not so much the horse.
Yes.
He's... I love putting my money on him. Look, that wasn't a great ride, but he stayed cool in the situation. Ellie Kazam, she's so brave. You know, she got into a good spot, but she worked and then had to drag her back and then she had to shove him out the way on the turn. You've got to give her a little bit of credit. I thought she was fantastic.
I reckon she deserves a huge rap because she got knocked rotten the other day.
Exactly.
She had the stuffing knocked out of her. She pulled up with abrasions. She was mildly lame. And Neville Parnham patched her up and said he was delighted with the way she went during the week, and that's why she was there, and she didn't disappoint. There was a good speed battle going on early, and she dragged out of it.
Yeah.
What about that final salute? Big improvement from him. Yeah. Charging down the outside in fourth.
I thought he was in fourth, yeah.
He's had only his fifth start. A 3-year-old might be one to follow.
Yeah,
I agree.
Eligible for an easier race too.
The winner had sort of hadn't run in any strong races leading into that race, so obviously it's been a plan and just keep it at the lower level, and it paid off.
Lightly race. That was only its seventh start and its third win.
Yep.
It had won a No Metro Wins race.
That's right.
Last start.
It's just been just guided through the classes there. But look, it was an authoritative sort of a win. You had to have liked the way it savaged the line.
Well, it was a big moment for Stephen Miller, who trained the winner, and also the local boy who returned home, Damien Lane.
The horse has always shown us a lot. And, you know, he's come through a faultless preparation well. And I thought his last win was very good. You know, we're stepping up in class, but... we had to have a dip at it, and, you know, he's come through and done a... You know, Damien rode him an absolute treat, and it was, you know, great to get his services. You know, Brad obviously had the option, and I know he rides for the other stable a lot, and I've only got a small team, so I had a good talk to Brad before it, and, yeah, you know, look, it's just bloody tremendous.
The question of where to next, do you know?
Yeah, to the paddock.
Pulled the wrong rein at the top of the straight and run him up some backsides, but I was lucky enough that I had the horse underneath me that when I went back to the inside, he sprinted really well.
That was the key thing, noticing your confidence. You were happy to dart through the traffic, and then he really let down once he saw that opening.
Yeah, he did, and full credit to SJ and his team. They had him spot on for today. He's a bit of an untapped horse. I think there's still more ability to come, so he's exciting.
Brad Parnham had ridden Variation at every single start this prep, but he'd also ridden Soul Special in all his runs this prep. Mm. So he, looking at the race originally, he didn't have a hard choice to make. He had to go with Soul Special.
Sure.
He had to go with Soul Special.
It was just too much speed in the race, wasn't it?
How many Millers are there in Perth?
Last count, 8,920.
Isn't there a movie, Meet the Millers?
7,000.
If you go to Perth, you'll meet a lot of them.
7,000 are in racing.
You need to take 2 weeks off work to meet them all.
There's been a Johnny Miller in the accent there.
But, and this Miller's a blow-in, this next Miller that we're going to have a look at here in the Placid Arc Stakes, Simon Miller. He's not a Perth Miller, he's a blow-in. But a great training effort by Simon Miller to back this filly up, Kaya Perinha, after a mile last week, which he didn't run, to a 7 day back up and back to 1200 metres. Takes a good trainer, but it takes a good filly.
Yeah, and they knew that she was going to bounce off that because she was very heavily backed. And like you said, it's not easy to do back in distance so quickly, but she proved that she's just obviously a sprinter there with a dominant performance. Wes Wally was okay first up, but the winner was just clearly superior.
He looks like he's got a lot to learn. Where's Wally?
Yeah,
but he's going to.
Nice horse. And that was first up, and they sort of ran along from a fair way out, didn't they, Greg? And I think first up at the 1200, it was a real test for him.
She'd had seven starts. Where's Wally had had three. She's got plenty of class on her side, and very, very good after the performance in the champion fillies. So the champion fillies stood up pretty well because Ellie Kazoom ran well in the guineas, and Kaya Perinha won the Placid Arc. Let's move on to the Carbine Club now, and we pick them up on the home turn. Duff, I got to Perth, and all I wanted was one person in the entire city to say, yes, Chocolate Holic could win. Do you reckon I could find one?
Well,
it was $2.60 on Thursday, and I think it got out to $6.
Yeah.
Unlayable.
At the moment,
not a friend in the world, but
I think the big value
in
the race is Endo's Mac. He is a good beginner, generally,
and like
with plenty
of
early
excuses at its previous
and
start,
one,
and the record, it spoke for itself leading into that race. So, what can you say?
Well, its Northern Cup win was excellent, and then it got back in a race where there was no tempo, and it couldn't win last start. The tempo was completely against it. But Ollie produced a gem there. He had a couple of options. He didn't know where he was going to go, inside, outside, and eventually he got that gap.
It's one of the only winners I backed all day, thanks to you, Greg.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Is that right?
Well, Bash Strait,
wish I'd done it.
Bash Strait proved that improved run last start was no fluke. He was 100-1 when he ran second last start, and he's backed it up with another good run there.
And he ran second to Scales of Justice.
Yeah, right.
So after Bash Strait had run well, we should have all jerried that, you know, that form was okay. Because he was 90-1 Bash Strait last start when he ran so well.
Mm. Yeah, so he's always a better horse with talent, but he just went off the rails there for a while. But he's two good runs again.
Was this the win of the day? I think it might have been. This is Cosmic Storm, who rattles home. It was never going to win. And this watch this last little bit from Cosmic Storm. This the story to this horse, Bob Peters was asked a few times during the day about the big races, and he was more excited about the return of Cosmic Storm, who hadn't raced since January.
Incredible. And that was never going to win this race. And look at its sprout wings here. Someone tried to tip me this, and I needed something by this stage of the day, and I sort of looked at it. No, look, I read somewhere the dreaded bar plate, yeah. So I just left the race alone. But if it's run through the line like that wearing bar plates, it's an absolute champion.
Look like Hal Raki in the Epsom. Was that type of finish, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Never going to win until the last 20 metres.
It was confusing. In one gear change sheet, it said bar plates again. Uh-huh. But then there was another sheet I read that had the offside front bar plate off and the near side hind on.
Oh, God.
You can't be that unbalanced, can you?
That'd make me even more nervous.
Anyway, we're going to have a look at it again, because you just keep your eye on Cosmic Storm in the Peters colours, sitting there three deep with plenty of cover, but it's just the manner in which it picks itself up and really bursts this last bit. Now, the last 600, Duff, was 35.53. Mm-hmm. I'd love to know the last four, the last two.
Well, it's just amazing. And considering that, well, she's not really a 1,200 metre horse.
Mm.
She's more of a miler, you know, closer to 2,000 metres. So
yeah.
I don't know what her issues have been. Looking at the plating changes, it could be a feat. But
well, when she ran third in the Latrice, her last start in January, she blew the start and she was actually very, very fractious in the gates. But
I see she was fractious going onto the track yesterday too.
Had to take a straight out. Yeah. Had to take a straight out. Nelly dropped Willie Pike. He said if she could, she would have.
She's a rat bag.
Yeah, but she did have a foot abscess, and that's why she went out for that long break. So
more than the foot abscess.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. That was the original call in the original stewards report. So pretty exciting for Cosmic Storm. I wonder if there's a race in a fortnight's time on Kingston Town Day.
Timing's right.
Yeah.
Maybe a 1,400 mile or something, I don't know.
Let's have a look at the winner bottom, because that is next Saturday in 7 days' time, back to Perth for another $1 million Group 1. Malaguera is now favourite 320 in front of Terra Vista at 360. Takedown will be there, $7. The two magic horses, Rock Magic and Vega Magic, might be the hope of the side over there.
Yeah, looks pretty strong, our sprinters, don't they?
Yeah.
But you never underrate the Perth sprinters, because they're hard to beat on their home turf. So I haven't put any work into that race, but it's obviously it's a real good talking point.
Yeah. Next Sunday, in fact, we're going to be hosting Thoroughbred Weekly in Perth. I don't know whether you two are coming. But
wow. I didn't even know about that.
I didn't know either.
Yeah. Yeah.
News breaking here on Thoroughbred Weekly.
Or you could do what I did and catch the red eye home and land in Sydney at 6 a.m. It's up to you.
It's up to you. You're the boss.
Not very comfortable back in 32B, Dub.
Yeah, I know that.
Okay, we're going to take a break. We'll be back with Sydney after this.
Looking for a small car,
but with loads of tech.
Toyota Corolla. Its 6-speaker touchscreen audio sounds like your here, and the punchy VVT-i engine can take you here.
During Toyotathon, get Corolla Ascent Sport from $23,990. Drive away with bonus 4 years roadside assist.
Oh, thought I'd lost you. It happens sometimes.
Search Toyota Value.
Oh, what a feeling, Toyota.
Introducing the new Xbox One S, the only console with 4K Ultra HD Blu-ray, 4K video streaming, and high dynamic range gaming. The new Xbox One S, smaller, sleeker, sharper. The ultimate games and 4K entertainment system. Now starting at $399.
This Thursday night, a special Sky Thoroughbred Central broadcast of Off the Track, the Chris Waller story. In part one of this two-part documentary, the team from Trackside New Zealand cross the Tasman to catch up with their countryman Chris Waller and talk life and racing with Sydney's premier trainer. Off the Track, the Chris Waller story, begins Thursday night on Sky Thoroughbred Central.
Okay, welcome back now to Rose Hill on Saturday, and we started off with the Ascend Sales Trophy Handicap. Hello, Mario Avellino. He does the trophies for Perth as well. 1,200 metres the journey, and Flash Fibian, he'd raced in the Heritage, the Roman Consul, the Brian Crowley, back to a benchmark 70.
And a lovely ride by Ty Anglin. He cuddled him with the big weight. He did have the had to carry the full 61, and he was off a five-week fresh, and look at him, he just saved him, and presented him. And a good little training performance by Paul Murray just to freshen him up, put him in the right race. She looked all over a winner, Gibraltar Girl, when she just cruised up out wide. But in retrospect, the track didn't play that way on the day. So re-look at that race after the last. That's one of the runs of the day. You could make a little case that she probably should have won. Because it was just a... obviously, you know, it was a no-go zone, as it turned out. Look, she had a chance there. Louboutin. I had something on Phuket here, the horse in the black out wide. I just reckon he's a big Dumbo at the moment.
Yeah.
And I reckon he's the best horse in that race.
And he's another one that got right out wide, didn't he, Duff? So you can probably just forget he went around.
I still like the run.
All right, winning trainer Paul Murray, winning jock Ty Anglin.
His last couple of starts after his first up run, he just seemed to flatten him. He just didn't put in, so we just decided to freshen him right up, and we put blinkers on in the English Classic, and he over-raced real bad, and I thought I'd just try him again today, and it's really worked.
But when you say flat runs, they were in Brian Crowley's and Roman Conjul's against pretty fair opposition, so he has been mixing it with some good ones.
Yeah, he has, and as I said to the owners, we come back to class races now. He's only a gelding now, so, you know, it's $100,000 races, so you might as well just pick up what you can now.
He's a nice horsey. Ran into some pretty handy horses early spring, and in the Bob Crowley, I don't know really what happened. It was a little bit disappointing, but they give him a nice freshen up, put the blinkers on, and from the soft gate, we had a beautiful run. He had to carry weight, but he showed a really nice turn of foot.
Good performance with the 61 kilos as well.
Yeah, it surely was. He's a nice horse, and he's just matured. You know, he's won a handful of races now, but I think he's still got more to come.
We might see you again here today, but that mo looks to be coming along nicely.
Yeah, it's getting there, mate. So get online, donate. It's all for a good cause.
All right, yeah, late. Take it very seriously, these jocks, as they should.
Yeah. Good luck.
That's good. Second race, fillies and mares. Now, before we roll the footage of the race, this race changed complexion at the before the start. We had two scratchings. We'll get to the Brenton Abdullah injury in a moment, but we had Cottage and Dagny both come out.
Yeah, Cottage went off.
Yeah, and Dagny. There was a little query on Dagny. Karen didn't like the way it cantered around the barrow, and he wanted the vet to have a look at it as well. So it was shaky ground for an even money favourite. But all in all, they both come out. It looked hairy for Abdullah for a while. There was a big deduction in the race. And it left this filly in front, this mare in front, Girl Sunday, and she's a big, strong thing. I thought she was very well rated by James Innes Jr. Dixie Chick. Was coming to beat her. Maybe she should have stayed on the fence and followed. That's just nitpicking. Should have followed Girl Sunday through and ducked back to the inside. But she had a chance. She looms here. And maybe that's as far as Dixie wants, the 1,400. She barely run it right out because I thought she had a cold here.
Geez, they backed her too.
Look. They raced away from the others, didn't they? The horse ran on OK, Firebird Flyer.
The winner's a lovely, big, strong mare, isn't she?
Yeah.
And after the race, wouldn't surprise, you'll hear that they sort of suggest that she might get over a bit further as well, but she really rolled along. I know she had the favours of the rail being out 6 metres, but it was still a very good performance.
Well, she was tough winning first up as well, where she did work. She didn't have to do... When you look at the sectional, she just even split that all the way. It was quite a good ride. It looked like she went out hard, but she didn't.
She's had a couple of good rides now. Atkins last start and Innes this time.
Yeah, so, you know, no fluke in both those wins and may be able to win somewhere again.
All right, Sterling Alexio representing Gerald Ryan and also James Innes.
Look, from day dot, she's always shown us good ability. She's not a super track worker, but you see race day where she really gets a determination from.
Yeah, and it has to be rated the right way, on the speed, given some easy sectionals, and then she finds.
Look, originally coming in the race, we thought we might be able to ride with a sit, but she just keeps lobbing into these races devoid of speed and have taken up the running. I think one day she will be able to take a sit and will still show a turn of foot, but while she's winning that way, she will keep it going that way.
She doesn't quicken a lot. Last start even, when she made the move around him, you could tell she didn't show a turn of foot, but she just kept plugging away, and she's very tough, so made my job easier, and we got a soft lead, so it worked out.
Is that indicative perhaps of a horse that might get a bit further?
Yeah, look, she relaxed nice under me today, and if she gets her own way in front like that, she'll go all day, so fingers crossed.
Okay, now let's go back to the incident involving Brenton Abdullah. When it happened, it looked like he broke his leg. He was in that much pain when they carried him out the back. Look at Abdullah here. He was in real trouble. You knew this wasn't going to be, I'm going to hop back up and jump back on.
No, he looked in big trouble. It was up high, so you thought, it might be just a cork or something like that. But obviously, it was very, very nasty and painful. I think he's going to have he's been cleared of any breaks.
Physio on Monday. Ligament damage, it looks like.
Okay.
So he did send a tweet out saying he'll know a bit more on Monday.
Well, ligaments can be a little bit tricky as well. They can be more than a week, but it all depends how bad it is. But it will stay.
He was eating cake, the boys came out and said in the
job. Eating cake?
He was in good spirits after it happened. So.
Where did he get the cake from?
I don't know.
They don't serve cake in the jockey's room.
I was wondering where he got the cake from, but...
Cake.
Maybe the caterers brought some down.
Sausage rolls, pies, and cake in the jockey's room.
Well, they ran out. They ran out of scones yesterday, didn't they?
Oh, it was a bit of a blow up.
Jesus, depressing.
Where? What?
Stink in the press room. But no scones. They had none to come down. You know, you come down about 3:30. The call went out. Where are the scones? Everyone was getting all antsy, hanging around. They need the sugar fix.
Didn't I pick a good day to miss Rose Hill?
We got the cheesecake instead, but...
Oh, no.
I'm laying the cheesecake.
Forget about that. The scones at about 3 o'clock. Duff needs his scone fix.
Exactly. Long day out there, you know. Looking for the slippers about 7.
That's what he does, folks. If you didn't know, Ron Duff is here at about 3 o'clock in the press room, takes his shoes off, puts the slippers on, and someone brings a smoking jacket. He sits in this beautiful leather armchair,
and then
someone rings a bell and goes, "Mr. Duff is he, race 7, and then he gets changed. Oh, it's a sight to behold. We'll take a picture of it one day. We'll take a picture of it one day. Where are we up to? Race number 3, the 50th running of the Tab Highway. Before yesterday, Terry Robinson had trained 5 highway winners. Matty Dale had trained 4. Matty Dunn had trained 4. And here's Matty Dale's 5th. He's equal with Terry Robinson now with the Little Racketeer.
Yeah, got a lot of favours as well here. The Barrier 1, I think it won 4 or 5 races yesterday, so that tells you a tale in itself. But another one. First up, no official trial, but obviously they have jump outs there and unofficial trials at Canberra. And look, she's got a little bit of quality about it. Just get a little prat there halfway down the straight, but she gathers herself up and gets the job done with a little bit of authority. Nice mare. I think there's upside to her, without a doubt. Hesco Gold got held up at the 250 there and should have finished a lot closer. The leader's forward on well there, Oakfield Lad, Oakfield Time, I should say.
Hesco Gold was due to run during the week in a bush meeting.
Yeah, well, look at it there. $15. Just saw the head on there. It got held up.
It took $15 during the week, and they scratched and they kept it for this. It would have been a moral, surely.
I've got enough hard luck stories of my own about listening to
you. Oh, come on. Spare me your ears just for one stuff. Oakfield Thomas.
He's not interested.
He's not interested. We're thinking about the slippers already, isn't he?
As it turns out, Akasaki was wide all the way. Yeah. I want to give all those horses wide that were just batting on late. Yeah. So Akasaki had legitimate excuses.
You reckon it's a decent highway this week?
Yes.
Yeah?
Yes, good race.
Okay. Here's Tommy Berry, who does a bit of riding for Matty.
The horse was beautifully placed today by Matty. He really knows how to set one for these highway races, and she got in really well at the weights and was fresh and put him away really quickly when we got the run.
Track clean today, Tom? It looks a little bit towards the inside?
Yeah, a little bit at this stage, but the races haven't had a heap of pace, and they rolled along in that one today, but I think the best horse won it today, and a bit of patience paid off.
Okay, 3 down in Sydney. Anything more to add?
Not really, no.
Okay.
I'm just looking for sympathy, but I'm not getting
any. You're not getting any sympathy. Slippers for Mr. Duffersey. Back after this.
We hope you are currently enjoying the programming, which is simulcast on Sky Thoroughbred Central and Sky Sports Radio. For more information, please visit skyracing.tv and click on the program tab.
Derby Racing, for the ultimate racing experience, turning your dreams into reality. Now on offer, a filly by champion sire Exceed and Excel. Sire of Group 1 winning fillies Guelph, Overreach and Earthquake. Out of Girls' Night, this filly is directly related to Reduce Choice, Alma Her, Hurricane Sky and He's No Paeda, and will hold enormous residual value after racing. To be trained by Gay Waterhouse, this precocious filly looks a real golden slipper prospect. For more information, visit derbyracing.com.au. Derby Racing, for the ultimate racing experience.
You know, I've been thinking and I just don't think it's going to work out. Oh. We've been here before, North Link. The Body Killer. I think we should end it. Let's cash out of this quaddy.
Now, avoid the Quaddy Killer. Cash out early with Tab.
Love a bet, then we bet you'll love this. We've got jackpots and specials coming your way every week. Check out tab.com.au to see what's on offer and place a bet you'll never forget. Tab, we love a bet.
Okay. Welcome back. Now we go to race number 4, and it was Multifacets Day yesterday. Fifth up from a spell. Let's pick them up on the home turn, and there's the bull in front.
The bull, I don't know why he came to the middle of the track on the bull. I don't know whether he would have won anyway, but he just might just struggle at the hard 2,000 metres on a bigger track. Maybe he's come to the end of it. But I don't know what they were thinking. And I'm sure it was in concrete here by this stage of the day that it didn't get in through their heads, a lot of them. They all still wanted to be 3 or 4 off the fence, but that's through just reputation, not looking at replay.
Yeah, I thought it was crazy.
So did I.
Would it have mattered?
Probably not, but it would have probably... He might have stopped Multifacets from getting the run.
Yeah, look, he bounced back. He's off an ordinary run last time. He found a little trouble last time. Now, obviously, he just got put off his game in that race. What can you say? Oh, I reckon not a gypsy. That's his first run in 4 or 5 weeks. Although he had every hope, I reckon he's ticking along for those Christmas Cup, Summer Cup sort of races. And obviously, he'll have the typical Snowden timing. Few good runs now from Hearns Oak, and he's out wandering out wide there.
And he was a horse that I thought was particularly disadvantaged by the bull coming out, because it meant that he had to go even wider, and he was out in the no-go zone.
He's going well.
Not much one from out there.
And SEL wide, no cover, the old, put a line through that run as well. Yeah. So, hard race to read.
Okay, Charlie Duckworth was there representing the Wallace stable, and another one for Tommy Berry.
He'd been going well. His last start was disappointing, but the start before that, we thought we were going to be seeing this once he got up to this sort of trip, so it was good to see, and it was a great ride by Tommy. He saved a lot of ground going up the inside like that, and it was a good victory.
Watching the race with Ron in the run, Ron said, geez, he's travelling this horse.
Yeah, I think the writing was on the wall a long way out, but obviously no one wanted to be on the fence, so he just got a lovely passage all the way through. And he put them away nicely.
Yeah, well, I was travelling really well in the run, and that's been his problem lately. He's been off the bit out the back and hasn't really been showing much interest. I'm tipping, I'm not sure, but I reckon Chris has probably done a bit of schooling with this bloke, maybe put him over a few jumps, because he's a lot sharper today, travelled right in the bridle the whole way, and when I asked him, he really let down.
Coming around the home turn, you had to grab him again, it looked like.
Well, I was surprised. I was coming off the fence before the corner again, so I said, oh, well, I just didn't want to have to stop my bloke's momentum, so it worked out perfectly for us, and it's a nice way to come back.
He missed the opportunity there. Tommy should have just chimed in and said, I made the difference. Yeah, it was me. I jumped on. Too modest. Race number 5. Let's go to Prince Famous's win here. Now, Prince Famous, back from a break and an operation.
Yeah, he had that tie-back operation, but look, he was good, because he had really good form early in his career, but then he seemed to lose his way. He's only a little fella. But he was gifted this race. He steamed home in 33. He left the back markers no hope. Kuro's put two good runs together now. I know he's a non-winner, but look out for him if he gets a track with a bit of jar out of it. press report did her usual thing, running well, fresh. Well, 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 this favourite. What about him? Le Cordon Bleu.
Oh.
I found a new one. I looked at the steward's report. I thought they'd find something. The thumps.
Yep.
Cardiac arrhythmia. Yeah. They always find something for these favourites. That just
Atrial fibrillation.
We've got a new one.
What?
I read in the steward's book, tachycardia.
Tachycardia? Is that cardia, but it's just a bit tacky?
I don't know. But
did you bring that down from the Gold
Coast? I actually Googled it just for my own entertainment. Just and it's something to do with you.
Something to do on a Saturday night.
With the slippers on. And it's rubbing the pipe.
Make the pain that little bit worse.
Cheryl, I'm just going on Google to find tachycardia. Coffee. So what did you come up with?
That would have rung the bell.
What did you come up with?
It was apparently something to do with the heart, obviously, with the cardia, cardiac arrhythmia. It's another. In the family, anyway.
Yeah, half brother.
Your heart beats more than 100 beats per second or minute or whatever it is. I reckon the punters that back him was that their heart was going more than 100 beats per second. That's for sure.
What isn't betting a funny thing? Prince Famous, when the markets went up, it was under $5. I thought, oh no, it's a bit short for me. If they had to put up $10, which was his SP, I reckon I probably would have had a nibble.
Yeah,
it's funny, but you get put off, don't you? You think, no, I'm not going to back it. Then when it drifts, you go, well, now I'm not going to back it. But
if it had gone up, was the opposite with Le Cordon Bleu. He was $8 earlier in the week, and he starts $2.40 or something.
Yeah,
so.
It's funny, isn't it?
And the dreaded tachycardia you got. I reckon they sit around at a table and say, look, we're using this cardiac arrhythmia too much.
People are getting sick.
Can you come up with something else?
Exactly.
And they're flicking through the books.
Here's the new
what about
one.
This one? Yep, we'll go with that. Here's Peter. Was it Peter or Paul? No, it was Paul on duty yesterday. Here he is.
He's a very genuine, honest little horse. He's no frills. There's nothing, you know, not much to look at. But what he lacks in height and stature, he makes up for in ability. So always puts himself up on speed. He does it the hard way, and you know, it's good to see him bounce back in form.
He's a 5-year-old. He's only liked the race, been off the scene for a couple of different reasons, but he can do that on his day.
Yeah, well, look, it's good when they taper off like that. We did find a problem with him, so he's had the tie-back operation, and look, we're seeing the benefits for that now. So he's in the right time of year. He can punch on and sort of batter up through these summer periods. There's some plenty of sprint races every fortnight. There's one here for him. So it's just about getting him ready again and carry on.
Kieran, you won the Melbourne Cup. You've had a new addition to the family. You're just flying at the moment.
Yeah, it's nice to come back home and have a winner on a Saturday. And, things have been going really well.
This horse, it was 2 from 3 first up and arguably... was a bit unlucky first up last preparation. He's obviously come out very good.
Yeah, he's shown him there that he's in good form, and Peter and Paul were happy with him. And he looked on his trials, watching the videos, he trialled up really nicely. Peter said he'd come through with some tie-back surgery and that had improved him, he felt, so, and he's proved right there. So he's in for a nice preparation, the horse.
$4.20 out of $10, it didn't bother you there, you went straight to the front.
Yeah, he's a fast horse, and Peter said, look, if they're going to muck around, just let him roll along. And he rated himself really nicely in front, and he had a too strong a kick over the last 2 furlongs for them.
Okay, let's move on to race number 6. So I interviewed Joe Pride at the Carbine Club in Perth on Friday. He was over there looking after Terra Vista, and 540 people in the room. He tipped it to everyone. This is a very good horse. This is a very good horse. So I think there might have been some happy people in Perth who followed up.
Well, he runs through the pain barrier, this horse. You know, he was the first one put into pain on the point of the turn there. You thought, well, he's dropped off, he's gone, he's not up to this lot. And he's probably on the borderline of being on the worst part of the track. He's probably just ducks back in a little here, but he's still last man standing. He's a beauty. What is it, 6 from 9 now?
6 from 9, yeah.
Charging through his classes. And how can you pot a horse like this? I thought a few times he was beaten, and even here once I thought, oh, well, Falkenberg's going to be just a bit tough for him late, but he held them all off. Iggy Pop's ready now. Yeah, you went off there first up, but he's just taken 4 runs.
I think it's 67.
Yeah, I know. Look, you're on the mark. maybe the Christmas Cup is a race that he could be very, very competitive in. He's just big and gross and a bit more older now, and he's just needed that recent racing, and he over-raced there. I liked Iggy Pop's run.
Duff, I thought Falkenberg, 28 days between runs, she looked very well in the parade ring, but I did think she's one that we can follow going forward. I know, stating the obvious, she's run second to a very good horse.
I don't think there's much between these 2,000 metres, 2,400 metre horses leading into Christmas Cups, Summer Cups. They're going to be really, really good betting affairs.
Well, she was around with Happy Hannah during their three-year-old season. Yep. And obviously Happy Hannah to Snowden's Eye came up a bit better, which we've seen. She was desperately unlucky down south.
Did you have to bring her up? We're almost over. We've just got over it.
And then, but this one, I reckon she's a big player come those cups.
Mm. You've spoilt Christmas, bringing up Happy Hannah. This horse will go out for a break. It'll be set for the autumn, new Tipperary.
Okay.
And Hayley Blythe-Devlin was on hand for Joe Pride, who was in Perth.
He's tough. He's tough. He battled all the way down, right down to the end. And we had a bit of a jockey change and whatnot, which isn't always great on the day, but I thought Jay did a super job. And I think we've got a nice horse.
Gets their head up in the air and you wonder where he's at sometimes up the straight, but he's actually finding a line. I mean, you win 6 from 9, decent galloper.
Look, he's still learning his craft, and he's quite versatile. We've seen him today on pace, and we've seen him a couple of starts back at Warwick Farm come from behind. I think he'd be a really nice horse, and he'd be a lovely horse for the autumn.
Very genuine animal who is looking like he's going to be a good staying prospect. So I still think he's got improvement in time, like maturity-wise. Like he has a, through his career, you know, he drops the bridle at the 600 and you've got to get into him, though he really suits Abdullah the way he rides him. So obviously nice to sit on his back, but hopefully Brenton's okay as well.
Yes, just to add to Brenton's pain, he was booked for new Tipperary.
Yeah, bad luck.
We'll take a break. 3 more races to come from the gardens.
Choc Top from Macca's. Soft serve dipped in cracking chocolate topping. Get more bang for your buck with a Macca's Choc Top for just $2.
We've all heard the story.
We know the story.
Not the size for the NBA.
Too small for the league.
That's old.
Old news. MVP.
MVP.
Two times.
Unanimous.
Unanimous.
Oh, dude.
73-9 and no rain.
This championship, that's fresh.
Now make that up.
To Gundagai on their biggest day of the year. This is Snake Gully Cup Day. Very good value to be had here. I'm going to stay with Greepel here. It's on top for me. 6 cheap in command. I have to have him in the tip somewhere. The cheap. He seems to really come solid this preparation.
And the gates crash back. They're off in the Snake Gully. Greepel getting out of its ground now and right down the outside. Cheap in command, but Greepel in front and Greepel.
Sky Racing Tipsters. Finding winners on race day.
I'm not saying that. You say that. Get off screen, Pete. Race number 7, let's go. Religify. Everyone's old mate.
Old mate.
But the day was his day yesterday.
What a ride. I know it's just a one-dimensional ride, but the way he just took this race by the scruff of the neck, he thought he was on one of Charlie Appleby's stayers. He just wound it up before the turn there, Karen, and off he goes. He knew he had a few little soft horses in this race, and he knew he had a horse that had had a couple of toughen-up runs where he'd been attacked in the lead. So the worst possible thing he could have done in this race is gone to the lead and stacked up, because the other horse would have got eyeballed again, but he really made him work from the 650, and he got them all out of their comfort zone, and it was a one-act affair. Look, he was easy to pot coming into the race because he's his SP profile, but that's a good, strong win. Look, good luck to him. He's honest horse, and he needed another win, and he gets it with style. Wonder what they'll do with him now. I wonder if they'll have a little crack at him.
The festival?
Festival, 1500. Why not? You know, he's a building. Why not have a go at the mile while he's up and running and try those tactics again with Avilliers?
Yeah.
I don't know what Chris is thinking, but that's the sort of level he's at.
Gee, Duke of Valentine was a Avilliers horse, isn't he?
Oh, down in the weights, yes. Yeah. That was a good run.
Fourth horse, Pajaro, was good, returned to.
Yeah.
He might be good. One to follow. But that was Religify's day. Look, first up, he was good. Second up, he struck a soft track, which isn't his go. Third up, he went to 15.50 and was taken on. Finally, he gets back to his pet trip, 1,400 metres, rail out 6 metres, favouring leaders, and he had the fitness edge on a lot of his rivals.
All right, here's Charlie and Kieran.
He obviously had to do a bit of work to cross them and get to the lead, and then there was no real time for an easy sectional, so Kieran really grabbed the race by the scruff of its neck and gave a good kick, and they were found wanting anyway.
Horse fourth up into the preparation. Others a bit fresher, and those chasing at the Furlong were thinking, this is too hard.
Absolutely, they're all getting a bit of a stitch, and he thought, oh, dropping back to 1400 is great fun. So, it was great to see a tough, honest horse like this have his day in the sun. So, wonderful for him and the owners.
Yeah, Charlie and I sort of discussed the race, and he's been running well, and he's not the horse to sort of sit and sprint, so I wanted to sort of have it cosy through the first couple of furlongs and then just build it up, and I'd had it pretty nice through to the 600. I thought, right, it's time to just get on our bike, and he cornered really well and picked up straight away, so he sort of had a bit of a gap on them, and he was able to hold them off. He was quite brave the last furlong and a half.
Do you think that 1,550 metre run last time maybe toughened you up a bit too?
Yeah, definitely. He's got the miles and the legs, so he's a big, strong horse, and he was able to do it quite tough and get away with it. So he's in fine form, the horse.
Into race number 8 now, choice we had. Have a look at this finish, Duff, and take us through this race. Sir Plush is in front.
Yeah, he worked across from the outside, Sir Plush. The horse is up the rail, or his danger's back in the field here. Choice we had just come out on the back foot in this race, and you thought, ooh. He mapped a lot closer than that in the run, but he stayed cool on him, and he got the job done here. Ty Aglin with a winning double. Just thought he wanted to just hang out there. I thought, oh, I don't want to come out. I'd rather go in.
Plenty of room inside.
But he just had the soft time early where the leaders did a bit of work. They've run third and fourth there. The horses that were on the speed, second and third, actually.
The horse that finished sixth, Intrepid Way.
Yeah.
I want to be on it when it strikes a wet track, if it gets one. I reckon it went okay.
He's just missed a consistency, the winner. He's 13 starts yet to miss a check, and well placed yesterday.
Okay, let's hear from Peter Snowden and the winning jock, Ty Angland.
As you watch the race, I was like, God, we're in the wrong spot here. We got too far back, and they steadied up mid-race, and there was horses that were climbing over one another back where we were. But look, he's lucky enough and going well enough. And full credit to him too. He deserved that. His last three or four runs have been solid. He had a bit of luck go his way today, and a good ride from Ty, a persistent ride. And I've got to say, I was giving up at the furlong. I was telling Paul he can't win from there, but he kept riding home, and he got him home, and well done.
I want to be a little bit closer earlier, but was sort of dictated to because I didn't quite have the speed as well as Kieran McAvoy outside me. But once we straightened, I just had to weave a little bit of a passage. Wanted to get to the outside, and as soon as we did, showed a great turn of foot to win.
He's been pretty consistent this time in, and he's got another win on the board. Was he the type of horse that could progress again next preparation?
I think so. He's he races well, he's got a good attitude, and he fights hard. So, yeah, he's pretty excited, and he should go a lot further.
Okay, and we go to the last, Dream Lane. A big moment for a small stable. Nick Mitchell gets the money here and Kristen Reith on board, Dream Lane.
Yeah, you see, they're all in that lane again. Up the inside, Barrier 1 again. Reith stayed patient. I can't believe everyone didn't want to be on the inside by this stage, but up she goes. Look, I don't know how she could be placed going into the provincial championships now. I think you're only allowed so many starts, so maybe a freshen up and another go at the provincial championships for this mare. Gee, she paraded well. This is my horse to follow out of the day, Heartlings, out wide. She went into the race with no official trial. She wanted to over race and maybe get on the wrong leg there, and then she's wandered out into the worst part of the track late here. I reckon she paraded with scope to improve. If she can improve off that effort, she's going to win a couple of races this preparation.
All right, let's hear from the winning trainer, Nick Mitchell, and also Christian Reith.
Real confident ride by Christian, and he was confident in her before he went out. and he just rode her a treat. He let him go early, didn't panic, and she just ran over the top of him close home. So it was really good.
Yeah, just that last 200 metres, she really knuckled down her work. She was fantastic.
Yeah, it was. She was probably travelling the best she was in the whole race, like just after they turned in. Like they went quick, and she was a little bit under the pump to hold her spot there, though she only had three behind her, but real good.
I was hoping to be able to box either today, but they ran a little bit quicker than I was anticipating, so we were kind of forced to ride a little bit quiet, but I was comfortable where I was. I was always confident that she'd be hit the line strongly, and it's just good to see, you know, Nick and the bunch of owners be able to get a win with her finally. You know, she's well deserved, and she's been overdue.
Angie and I have seen Nick run desperately close second a couple of times during the midweek meeting, so it must be, as you said, good for you to be one home for him.
Yeah, look, he's a great up-and-coming trainer. You know, he's only got a small team there, but he's a hard worker. His horses always look well and always presented well, and, you know, they get every opportunity. So it's good to see him starting to get a couple of nice horses, and, you know, he'll only do well with them.
OK, a break, and when we come back, a couple of good performances in Brisbane yesterday. Stay with us.
Our tipsters are in cracking spring form. Nick Ashman.
Joanne's cruising, a three-way go here. It's Gunny Girl in the centre, and Gunny Girl gets it. Santiago getting out after Captain Scott. Santiago, hands and heels by Rachel Murray. She's won three in a row. Robbie Thompson is just pushing out Hot Finny, and Hot Finny goes on to score. Well, single and free. Drives clear now, and single and free. Too good.
Sky Racing Tipsters, finding winners on race day. We're finding you more winners each week with Formline Extra.
Santiago. I think the horse is running in career best form as a 7-year-old. I like to stick with these horses in the country meetings when they profile this way. Deadly Shadow's a horse we need to be on if you're going to have a bet in a race. First up for Adam Duggan and Josh Parr. I've got him on top. Never out. Hopefully Mitchell Bell can sort of tuck in behind the speed, peel out and go bang at the top of the straight. I think she's the one to beat if that happens.
Formline Extra. Weekdays immediately after race day. He's interviewed the biggest names in the Australian racing industry. Tuesday, join Ray Thomas for the best of one-on-one from champion jockeys.
I always grew up riding horses, so I suppose I had that horse sense. It's one cup they still talk about. Yeah. I was just lucky to be part of that.
To champion trainers.
I just love this sport. You know, it's as simple as that. I can't see myself doing anything else.
The passion you've got for your horses, and that's what gets me through.
He's done the job for us. We're in a very good position.
The best of one-on-one with Ray Thomas, 7:30 Tuesday.
I really wish Ronnie Duffusy was in Brisbane yesterday, standing next to Desley Forster. Well, she would have put the biggest headlock on Duff when Too Good to Refuse started to lengthen stride down the outside. This horse put up a great run first up, Duff, and have a look at this second up. Hasn't he got a finish?
Lovely horse. And Desley's always had so much confidence in him. Like, he's a fully mature four-year-old now, and maybe his preparation. This looked a really solid, you know, listed race on paper yesterday, and you'd got to admire, you know, the way he savages the line here. It's still a work in progress, this track, isn't it?
They need a good summer, Duff.
Yeah, maybe.
They need a good summer.
They went very hard in that race too. I'm not taking too much away from him, but I reckon
I understand what you're saying, but he's a nice horse.
Go to the George Moore, then the Loch Nay. Hoping to get a wild card entry to the Magic Millions. Certain races you can be a non-Magic Millions horse, get a wild card.
Well, I don't know about that. I've never heard of that, but actually,
yeah,
that's interesting.
There's a couple of wild... Just go and check. When you go home, when you're Googling tachycardia, look up wild card Magic Millions.
Okay, I will.
Okay. Now, another performance. This is the two-year-old race. Have a look at this performance. Sella Girl, plenty of room there it looks, but things turn pear-shaped and she wasn't going to win.
Well, you wouldn't think so, especially when she comes out of the middle here and has to come back round them. Loses a lot of momentum there. She's First started by More Than Ready, so a bit of pedigree there. And
90,000 at the Magic Millions.
It's a nice timing, you know. We've got the Magic upcoming Magic Millions, you know, in early January, and you've got to like the way those last four strides are there. So might be cooking with a bit of gas.
And going into a Magic Millions, big field, often a bit bustly.
Yeah.
Knowing that she can cop a bit of her buffeting and still lift.
You're not going to give wild cards to 2-year olds in the Magic Millions.
No, I don't. I think they're for other lesser races.
I've got to say, you know, surely.
No. No wild cards in the 2-year-old.
Okay.
That's Kelly Sweeter's 2-year-old winner. Pretty impressive. Big bets. What have we got? This is what happened yesterday.
Yeah, we got some winners.
This is the hits.
These are the winners. 5,000 Little Racketeer, of course, got the catch. Well, Ledger Five was the biggest bet, though. 25,000 at 240. Good shopping there. I think he started about 205, didn't he, Duff?
Mm-hmm.
Choice we had was heavily backed. It was a bit more than that on course during the day, but 5,000, 4,000. But here's the losers. Le Cordon Bleu, the Tachyarrhythmia, kicking in strong there for tab.com.au. 8,000 done on that horse. And Dark Steel probably went a touch hard in front. Cheeky Babe as well. Down south, 12,000 at $2. Big loss there.
All right. I won't be back next Sunday. Well, I'm going to stay in Perth.
Oh, yeah? Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Darren McCauley's going to join me.
Okay.
So you two be right?
Well, don't worry about us.
Is it just us two?
I don't know. We'll sort this out during the week.
We have to work this out.
Really nice scones over there too.
Is it?
Yeah,
really?
Just...
Oh, there'll be something next week after the uproar yesterday.
I'm dirty. I'm missing Rose Hill next week. Is it Rose Hill next week? I think
Rose Hill.
There'll be two plates of scones next week. One for Duffersy and one for the rest. All right. Now, we're back on form line this Thursday night.
Yep.
You'll be back?
Correct weight.
Okay. Wes Cameron's going to join us on form line to go through some Perth winners. So... let's see if we can find some winners during the week. Thanks, boys.
Beautiful.
Thanks for joining us. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday. See you later.